Technorama episode 604, class objects. Hey, welcome to Technorama. Sorry, that little dance Craig was doing kind of threw me off.
You said three, like, two, and I was doing my head back and
like
forth.
Like a metronome over there. I'm not sure what that was about. Those of you who are listening, I apologize. Right before we hit record, Craig, I'm going 5, 4, 3, and Craig's teetering back and forth in his chair like a metronome. It was great. So, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek, including metronomes. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and I think that's our magic word for the day. Every time you hear the word metronome, everybody scream! And that person you hear screaming on the other end is, of course, the one and only Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. This is a short week, work week for me, so I'm
feeling really good. What are you, skipping town?
Yes, I'm skipping town. I'm actually going camping next weekend. So
so there won't be a Technorama on June 14th.
Nope. We'll take a week break and then we'll be back.
Give our patrons a break too. They've been shelling out the cash.
I know, doing a mighty fine job of it.
Yes. Thank you.
How do you think I'm affording to go camping? I'm just kidding. I don't use it for camping.
No. He's able to afford the mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Do we have audio feedback? Did I miss something in the
feedback? You do.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, then we will do the question of the week first while I'm digging that out of the archives. Hold on.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Metronome, metronome. Close, but not in sync.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Here, Chuck, I'm going to hand one to you. There you go.
Craig, we got to move your camera just up a little bit. It's cutting your head off.
It's cutting my head off?
Oh, no, never mind. She needs to drag her screen down. Title bar? Sorry, Discord is a little audible. The title bar is hidden behind what? Well, Craig's going to have an interesting view this show because I can't get up and fix it in the middle of a show. Let's go on. Let's see. I've got John Miller Jr.'s message right here.
John Miller Jr.? No, Mike Wills.
Mike Wills. Same one we right here.
John Miller Jr. Okay. That's an old
one. Hey, Chuck and Craig. Figured I'd put together another quick voicemail for you. I heard in one of your recent episodes, I cannot remember which one because I'm a little behind, admittedly, right now.
We're all behind.
But you mentioned the solar minimum and how we're in a solar minimum right
now.
Yes. Good news is, according to, we call her Space Weather Girl, I think is what she goes by, Dr. Tamitha Scove. She is saying that it was a cycle 25 is just starting to fire up. So there's more and more signs of the next solar cycle just getting ready to get started.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long it actually takes, but in amateur radio, where I am doing a lot of attention these days, we need those solar flares. Because that powers up our ionosphere so we can bounce our radio signals off the ionosphere and make those long contacts across the globe. So it's very important to us as we go. And people keep saying, quote, the bands are dead. No, they're not dead. You're just not getting the long distances that you're used to from the last solar cycle. So I'm getting ready to bounce those waves off the ionosphere myself and hopefully to have some fun here in the next solar cycle. So yes, it is solar minimum, but it is starting to show signs of coming right back up again. So I thought I'd pass that along. Thank you guys for the awesome show and I will talk to you next time.
Thanks,
this
Mike.
Mike Wills.
You forgot your call sign.
I know, right?
I was waiting for his ham radio call sign. I forgot all about that. That is something I knew 35 years ago, 40 years ago, and I totally forgot about that. Yes, the shortwave radio, the ham radios need the ionosphere lit up. So they are very aware of and susceptible to the solar the 11-year solar cycle. I forgot all about that. That was a big conversation on our old bulletin board back in the 80s.
Yeah, I did not forget about that because I actually saw it in action. Dad was an avid CB, yes, you know, guy back in the day. And I remember he was installing it in his car. Maybe he had it tweaked out so the wattage was a little bit more. But I remember he was installing it in his car and I was sitting there and we were in the driveway and he was trying to get somebody, call somebody. And we heard somebody reply to him. And turns out that guy was in Pennsylvania, but we were in Texas.
I don't know that Citizens Band does the same.
If the conditions are right, it will skip.
Okay. It's interesting.
They call it the skip or CB skip or whatever. And it will bounce. And I guess the cloud conditions and everything in the atmosphere will cause it to bounce around like that.
All right. Easter Bunny's involved in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah. But it blew me away. Once we asked him, say, hey, where, you know, what's your 20? And he said he was in Pennsylvania. It was something like that.
Yeah, he was in the Pennsylvania auto mechanic Texas. Garage just around the corner.
Pennsylvania, Texas. But no, I remember that blowing my mind as a kid. You know,
store.
Wow, he's, you know, way over there. Anyway.
I thought it was impressive when we could pick up WLS from the Upper Peninsula in Michigan at night. That was, you tune your radio and you're like, wow, WLS is out of Chicago. That's like a 7-8 hour drive. And I was like, whoa, we can pick up John Landecker.
Yeah. Well, even at night, you know, when a lot of the AM stations, they drop their wattage. I want to say they drop their wattage and some of the more powerful ones will make their way through, like from Cuba. You can hear in certain areas in the United States, you can hear Cuban radio.
Radio free Cuba. Alrighty, we have our question of the week from last week, which is, which fictional characters would you pick to help in a fight? Would you like the Technorama page and I will take the Chuck Tomasi page?
Sure.
All right. Starting with Chuck Tomasi, J.C. Hutchins simply says, Kirk. Dan Hager, who's our pastor at church, says, the Care Bears. They can actually get me out of the fight. Okay, well, thanks, Mr. Miyagi. Best offense is not to be there. Rocky says, Scott, Tiffany Mangan, wife of Jack Mangan, says, Lilu, Neo, and Elsa, just because it's an awesome visual.
Right.
Gary Wandrash, who used to do karate with me, says, I would pick Chuck Tomasi. I still use that leg sweep you showed me. I totally forgot about the leg sweep in karate. When we were sparring, you look your opponent straight in the eye and they're expecting to see your head move or your hands move. They don't look at your feet and you take your foot and you swat their foot and they kind of go, whoa, and off bounce. And then you pop them in the face.
Oh, yeah.
It was like my one trick, but you can't use it all the time because then they plant their feet back a little further.
That's right.
And then you get beat in the head. All right. Julio from Tijuana says, Dr. Strange. Clinton at once, the Terminator. He says, I'll just stand behind him.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one.
Kristen, who's her niece, says Zoe from Firefly. Stacy Bailey, co-worker, says Captain Marvel, I think. We also have, old high school classmate Brian says the Hulk. Kent, who did jujitsu and karate with me, just puts a picture of the Punisher. I like this. Amy from church also says, Care Bears, Dan, really? You're getting ripped on your answer.
Right.
My cousin James says Wolverine, Superman, and Wonder Woman. My sister wants Thor. Della Slavsky says Hong Kong Fui. Patty says Harry Potter. We also have the Hulk in here, Pikachu. Mike Stockman says Captain Caveman. Nikki, one of our friend's daughters, says Katniss and Hermione. That's an interesting combination. My oldest sister, Suzette, says Bruce Lee as Kato. Ooh, Bruce Lee. Yeah, I'd take him.
Yeah.
Mike wants Popeye. Jack wants Thanos with all the Infinity Stones.
Oh, of course, got to add that in there. Hey, yeah, he was pretty tough with about three or four of them. So
right, just whipping around that scythe he's got or whatever with a big machete.
Yeah.
Megan Endlow wants Doctor Who. Of course, Buffy would be a good choice as well. I guess she says my dream team would be Doctor Who with the Buffy team combined. All right. Paul wants Gandalf the White. Chris wants her daughter. Oh, that's pretty powerful. And my other sister says, the Invisible Man. You would want the Invisible Man in your fight.
Oh,
yeah.
I got something about Invisible Man a little bit later.
Okay. What do you got on the Technorama page?
All right. A scouter I know, Christina Norris, she said, Itachi Uchiha. I'm not saying that name right. It's from anime. She says, if he's unavailable, I'll take Khan Sing. We all know he's willing to ruin the world for his people. Myron Dupler, who's in the chat room over there, says the doctor or Chuck Norris. He says, are you man enough to tell Chuck he's not fictional? No. Weber Baker said Mary Brandebuck. You know, Brandebuck, the Hobbit. Is a small but deadly.
He's SBD, small but deadly, yeah. Which isn't silent SBD. But deadly.
Yeah, I know. Mike Robinson said Godzilla. Rocky Novellino said Apollo.
Apollo Creed? I don't know. Creed, Apollo, maybe? the fictional, the Greek
I'm
god?
I'm going to take Apollo Creed.
I'm going to go with the Greek god.
Yeah, okay. Or the one from Star Trek. And John Miller Jr. says Optimus Prime. For starters. Yes. What was yours, Chuck?
I'm trying to remember what mine was. I had one last week, and now I can't remember what it was. I thought I mentioned it.
I was thinking John Wick.
Fictional character you want in a fight. Now I got to think about that. I had one in mind. So many to choose from.
Just take Neo.
Yeah, he's fictional, all right.
The Neo from the third movie, not the first one. He's still learning in the first one.
I don't know if I got to the third movie.
You didn't see the third Matrix?
Let's see. Yes, I did. I saw it once. I saw the second one when I was in Colorado.
Yeah, the second one's all right. The third one was okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's close out that segment.
Yeah. Riveting.
Riveting. And what a segue that was.
We'll have Welcome another question to podcasting excellence, everybody.
Hey, we just write the books. We don't actually do this stuff for a living.
Yeah. This is all a facade.
There are those who can teach. And what is that? I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to the history, because we have history. Every day there's more history. Isn't that amazing? This is the way the history went on this day in history for June 10th, 2020. It is the 162nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar, and there are just 204 days remaining in 2020. We're almost at that halfway point again already. It was on this date in 671 that Emperor Tenji of Japan introduced a water clock, or a clepsydra, called Rokoku. Isn't that where you hook up to your TV?
I got one of those downstairs.
Right. It's a Rokoku box. This instrument, which measures time and indicates hours, is placed in the capital of Otsu.
85 years ago today, Dr. Robert Smith took his last drink, and Alcoholics Anonymous was founded in Akron, Ohio, United States, by him and Bill Wilson.
All right. Congratulations, 85 years ago. June 10th, 1944, in baseball, a 15-year-old... Joe Nuxhall of the Cincinnati Reds became the youngest player ever in a major league game. 15 years old.
That's amazing. And on June 10th, 1947, Saab produced its first automobile.
47. Looks like some of the models they had were from the 40s.
Speaking of Texas, I remember we had a neighbor that had one, and I think he washed it every day.
Those cars just ran forever. Yeah. Also today in 2002, the first direct electronic communication experiment between the nervous system of two humans is carried out by Kevin Warwick in the United Kingdom.
Whoa. I guess it beats the string in a couple of cans.
Which is what Craig and I are using on a regular basis to do this podcast.
Right. That's right. June 10th, 2003, the Spirit Rover is launched, beginning NASA's Mars Rover Exploration Rover Mission. Mars Explorer Rover Mission.
So sorry,
I read
close.
Too many rovers in there. Red Rover, roll over.
Send Craig over. Happy birthday goes out in this day to Persian mathematician and astronomer Abu al-Wafa Bujani. He was born in the state in 940.
Wasn't he in one of his Disney movies?
Prince Abu. No, Abu was the monkey.
Carl Gustav Ekeberg was a Swedish physician and explorer. Was born on the same date in 1716.
An American entrepreneur. This one's for you, dear friend Clinton Elvord. The man who founded Dunkin' Donuts. You should know this. What was his name? That's right. If you guessed William Rosenberg, you'd be right. So next time you walk into Dunkin', say, William Rosenberg sent me, because it's his birthday. Go into Dunkin' on Wednesday the 10th and ask for a free cup of coffee, because it's the founder's birthday.
Mm, yeah, that's right. So also turning 99 today is Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip.
Ah, the Queen's husband. He'll be 99. That's crazy. Congratulations to him. One more year, buddy. You got the century locked up. Okay, Friedrich L. Bauer, the German mathematician, computer scientist, and academic, was born on that same date in 1924.
And American astrophysicist and academic Eugene Parker is 93 today.
How old is he?
93 today.
Who is it?
Eugene Parker.
What's his name? I don't know about that. Sorry.
Okay, moving on.
I was watching the Amazon Silver skit again.
What? Oh.
Hey, Alexandra, what are them kids doing across the street? They are just playing. Oh, we are way off track here. Also turning 91 today is American general pilot and astronaut James McDivitt.
And French mathematician and academic Pierre Cotier is born on this date in 1932.
Augie Auer, the American New Zealand meteorologist, was born on that same date in 1940.
And also turning 55 today is German computer scientist and academic Suzanne Albers.
Our listener birthdays for June 10th through the 16th include two of them on the 10th. Tim from Australia. Well, we just had a guy from New Zealand. Well, next door neighbors, practically. And Weber, by the way, June 10th, AA was founded in 1935. Look at that. He knows. He put that on the birthday calendar. Wow.
That was quick.
Miss Eliza C. from Winging It 3D. Oh, my goodness. I think I got their bottle opener over here. Is on the 15th, and the 16th has two, Joe Edmison and Jason from the Angry Geek. He's not the Angry Geek, apparently.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to all of you, and it is your birthday. Sometime in this next week, we wish you all the best. Stay safe, happy, healthy to all your friends. Do the right thing and protect yourself, all that good stuff. But so that way we can wish you another happy birthday next year. And until then, if you want to get on the birthday calendar, you go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Didn't you have a second link that also worked? Like birthday or something? You were...
Just click on the link. It's chuckchat.com/birthday.
Works for me.
Right there.
And that's the way it was on this date in history for June 10th, 2020. I think we got one more cycle to go through. 30 more seconds? Sure, why not? Just because it's a great song. Put this on as a ringtone. I'm happy to share. This song just makes you smile, doesn't it?
I think about it all week long.
This is the last week of our conference. It's been going for 6 weeks. We've had a digital conference going on for the 6 weeks. Craig is finally going to get to be able to sleep. What?
I'm in charge of really spinning up the labs and stuff for when we do this conference, for all the training we do. And really, it was the first week. They kind of changed it up on us. So I didn't really last several weeks, I haven't really been doing anything.
Smooth sailing. Oh, no, so you're saying we're paying you for doing nothing?
I'm going to go that far. No.
The reason I mentioned it is because at the beginning of every video we roll, there's this little jingle ditty thing, almost like a dubstep kind of thing. Boom. Well, yeah, somebody in one of the chats in week two or three said, hey, can I get that as a ringtone? So I had one of the videos that they let me preview. So I extracted that out of there. I have a short version. I have a long version. I have the MP3. I have the M4R. I put it on our community and went, go nuts, people. You ask, I deliver. And it was within, I almost had it done by the end of the actual live presentation, but I didn't quite make it because there was some export problem with the MP3 file.
You had one of my moments where I go, wait, I bet I can do this really quick.
Uh-huh. And it doesn't turn out to be really quick. How many times does that happen to you, dear listener or viewer? You go, this won't take long. And it takes way longer than it's supposed to.
Hey, I'll tell you one time, and I hope T listens to this, but you know, our friend T Morris, anyway, so there was I forget why it came. Oh, I know what it was. I took a picture of him when we went to one of the Create South events at Myrtle Beach, and we were on the beach, and I took a couple of portrait shots. And then I took one of him jumping on in the sand out of the sand. And he looks like, you've probably seen it, Chuck. It looks like Mario kind of is kicking out a little bit and his other legs behind him a little bit. He's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
He has that kind of Mario pose. So it came up as a Facebook memory one day. And so I went, wait, I got an idea. I made it an album cover. It looked like a 70s album cover with some guy. Did you not see that?
I did not
see
that.
I put a, Kmart sticker on it, so it looks like it's...
Put a CBS record and tape club or something.
I should use that as an album art.
Good for one penny.
Yeah, I forget the title I put on there. Oh, and I also did the same thing for Evo. He posted a picture that our friend Bruce Press took of him, where he had a bare bottom. Looking back like he was cutely looking back, almost like the
Copper Tone
Gerber
girl?
Baby or the suntan lotion baby.
Copper Tone, yeah.
Copper Tone. And I turned that into an album cover too. I put a border around it, put a sticker on it, a 2-for-1 special. And the title of the album was Forbidden Fruit.
Oh, bye.
If you haven't seen that, I'm going to have to show that to you.
I can only imagine what he's going to do for I'm going to have to get you when you get to your 5-year anniversary in the spring. We'll find some picture and turn you into an album cover. Let's get on with the news. We have more space news this week, don't we?
Yes, there's always space news and space. And you know why? Because it's not on Earth and there's no COVID related to it.
And so space is big. So there's got to be a lot of news out there. Well,
hopefully.
As of this writing, which was on June 5th, today is the 10th anniversary of SpaceX's inaugural Falcon 9 launch. Excuse me, I jumped ahead a few generations. Marking a decade of largely uninterrupted success that the company has rung in with record-breaking Starlink launch and rocket landing. Hooray! Where's that applause? Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Just one day
okay,
after...
Get it short.
Yeah. Just one day shy of the occasion, booster... B-1049 lifted off on its 5th orbital launch and Falcon 9's 86th launch overall, successfully placing the 8th batch of 60 SpaceX Starlink satellites in orbit and becoming the first booster ever to complete 5 orbital class launches and landings. Designed to fly no fewer than 10 times each, that means that SpaceX is already half of the way to achieving a major goal of the rocket's Block 5 upgrade just 24 months after its launch debut. With Starlink 8 under its belt, Falcon 9 B1049 has officially become the fastest orbital-class rocket or spacecraft in history to perform 5 launches, beating out Space Shuttle's Columbia in 27 months, Challenger 24 months, Discovery 22 months, Atlantis 26 months, and Endeavour in 29 months, with launches in about 20 months for Falcon. It's pretty darn quick.
It is amazing.
Over the 10 years it's been operational, thanks in large part to the unprecedented leaps in SpaceX has made, while independently developing booster reusability, Falcon 9 has become the most affordable source of large orbital launches and has come to dominate the commercial market, and the company's lead is only likely to grow in the coming years. Very cool. Lots of cool pictures on here, too.
Yes, there's, I love the pictures at the top of, you can see the rocket in action. It's really nice.
Yes, their banner image on this, if you go to episode 604 at chuckchat.com/technorama and look at the show notes, you can see this in the very first news article.
Their goal was to actually be able to, I don't know that they'll ever reach this, but when it comes down and they bring the rocket back,
yep,
just turn it around and send it back up. You know,
well, if the barge was full of fuel, you could just launch it from the barge, right?
Yeah, just, it's already there. Yeah.
Wait, we forgot to put the people on the top. Like a pit crew.
Yeah. All right. Go, 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 go.
We got to do another three laps around the Earth.
That's right.
All right. We also have some news from Hubble. Would you care?
I care.
To read? I do care, but would you care to read it?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is Hubble is like the gift that keeps on giving, because it keeps making surprising finds. And here's another one. So Hubble's Deep Space Quest makes surprising find in the early universe.
I always want to play this song when I think about the Hubble. What did they find, Craig? Men in Black?
So I'll tell you what they found. You know, in Greek mythology, the first deities born from the universe origin in the chaos created a race of titans, like Chuck and I, but, you know, that's another story. The powerful titans were eventually superseded by the gods of Olympus in the modern cosmology, the stellar equivalent of the legend of Titans are also our so-called population three stars. They would have been the very first born after the Big Bang. These hypothetical stars are elusive as the Titans, of course. Unlike the stars of today, like our sun, that contains heavier elements such as oxygen, nitrogen, carbon, and iron, the population three stars would have been solely made out of a few primordial elements first forged in the seething crucible of the Big Bang. Much more massive and brighter than our sun, they would have defiantly blazed as lords in the inky void of the newborn universe.
But not for long.
Not for long. So a team of European researchers led by Rachiana Radwatker.
Good luck with that.
Sounds good.
We call her RB for short.
We
call her RB for short.
RB. Of the European Space Agency set out to find these elusive first-generation stars by probing the first, probing from about 500 million to 1 billion years after the Big Bang. In their quest, they used observations from the Hubble, NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope, and the ground-based Very Large Telescope. Love that simple name. Very Large Telescope. Of the European Southern Observatory. They used the gravitational lensing power of the massive foreground galaxy cluster that acts as a giant magnifying lens in space to find brightened images of far more distant background galaxies, 10 to 100 times fainter than any previously observed. Unfortunately, the team found no evidence of the first generation of population three stars. In the cosmic time interval they explored, these results are nevertheless important because they show that galaxies must have formed even earlier after the Big Bang than previously thought.
There's a picture that Donna's got on the screen right now, and it's in the article, the one where it's got all the galaxies and whatnot, but you see this sort of blue streak through the middle. Like, and that's what they're using to do the gravitational lensing and seeing even further back. That is impressive. What a great idea.
Yeah. So go check out the article, and there's a lot more details about what they looked at and what they found. But yeah, this is a beautiful picture.
We keep finding stuff.
I love the picture because you can see all those spirals and they're all just a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like going outside and seeing a bunch of fireflies.
Grains of sand on a beach. Galaxies and stars all over the place. And just think, we're not even looking. The universe is a big place.
Yeah. We're on one little corner of it.
Yeah. I mean, you think about Voyager on Star Trek Voyager taking 70 years to go partway across one galaxy. Imagine if they'd gotten thrown like four galaxies away.
Yeah, no kidding.
It would have been like walking to the next star.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
Pretty amazing stuff. All right, how are we doing on time? I think it's break time. Real quick, short break?
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Quick break. We will be right back in two shakes with Hacks and Strange Stories and some other cool stuff.
This is Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, Tom Zarek, and the original Captain Apollo, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Technorama, the podcast for geeks, because geeks are better than cool. You don't hear someone say, "Get away from me, you cool person." Who's gonna have their 65-inch home theater system installed by the cool squad? Not me, that's for sure. How much cool cred do you have? Not enough to care about. Think you'll find any canned unicorn meat at thinkcool.com? It's just a park domain name. They don't even have roadkill in a paper cup. That's why you need to start listening to Technorama, because that's what geeks do. Go to chuckchat.com and listen to Technorama before you turn cool.
I miss Richard Hatch.
Yeah, I was wondering if we should retire the ones where people have passed away.
No, they're even more precious.
Or let's put them on eBay.
Would you like to buy my MP3? How's that work?
Yeah. They get exclusive
download
rights
my MP3 for $150.
Yeah.
No, that I still get an occasional email from Bud Thacker's brother saying, "Do you still have that interview with my brother?" I was like, "Yeah, of course we do." You know, family friend. Bud worked at NASA and worked on the Delta II rocket in the 60s and 70s. And became a friend of our family. So that's when I started talking to him. And we did an interview with him. Well, he passed away a few years later. And, you know, I'm very happy to say that we have, you know, him for posterity recorded. And maybe someday someone will listen to Technorama or watch my work videos and go, "I miss Chuck," but I doubt it. But anyway.
Well, guess what? They have 604 episodes to go back and listen to.
Oh, I thought I was going to.
That's too much. I didn't miss him that bad.
Okay. Yeah. Just anytime you want, go back and flip on something on the internet and I'll be there for you.
Yeah.
We have an article about Sam Rogers from the UK. He's a 24-year-old that wanted to recreate the classic cinematic moment of Marty McFly flying on his hoverboard. Now, when you see the video, you go, "Hey, that's pretty cool. How is he flying?" Well, the hoverboard isn't actually flying. He's combined the jetpack, which uses the minimal amount of jet technology to lift himself. And this has been around for a while. It looks like he's got four mini jet engines strapped to his hands, which scares the bejesus out of me. But apparently he knows what he's doing. 24 years old, kid. You think you're going to live forever? Well, guess what? So he's been flying with the jetpack for a while, and we've got some other pictures in here. He wanted to recreate that moment and fly alongside a DeLorean. So he was at an air show with the jetpack. You can watch the video. He explains the whole thing. And there was a DeLorean in the audience, so he found out who owned this thing and said, "Hey, would you be willing to get together?" They eventually got together. He strapped the hoverboard on his feet. Originally with zip ties, okay. And then he said, "No, we're going to use Velcro." So the hoverboard is really just hanging from his feet, not really lifting him and everybody else up.
Yeah.
Jetpacks are doing the whole thing. But they ran down this runway with the DeLorean and the hoverboard, and it was really an interesting process to hear how this whole thing came about and how it evolved and what happens. The part you don't see, and if you watch the behind the scenes video, is right after he goes out of the shot at the end, he wipes out.
Oh no, I didn't see that.
I had a bit of a hard landing, and he came down on his backside, but he was okay.
I remember that. That's right. Yeah. Well, here's the other interesting thing: this jetpack that he's got, he 3D printed it and he designed it himself.
Yeah, with metal and whatnot. I think it's just amazing. This is another testament of like the Star Trek effect, where movies, TV, pop culture is influencing what people do in terms of science. They're making these imaginary things happen. And while it may not have any intrinsic value of itself, like, oh boy, you know, no one's going to go out and buy a jetpack and let their kids play with it. But those types of technologies lead to other innovations and other inspirations. Mm-hmm. And now that we've gotten to this level, you know, who knows? Maybe we could put a miniature version of this. He was thinking, ever since he saw the movie, he was thinking, how can I make this hoverboard fly with fans or jetpacks or whatever it is? And technically, he didn't make the hoverboard fly, but it's a pretty cool effect that he does do. And the control he's got over those hand thrusters is pretty darn impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, just the fact that he can do this is what separates us from the apes.
Jetpacks?
Being able to just make stuff. Yeah, just be able to take inspiration and make something.
Oh, because jetpacks separate us from the apes.
Have you seen
too.
An ape on a, with a jetpack?
An episode
it could
of
be entertaining. Hey, it could be entertaining.
Episode of Gilligan's Island comes to mind.
Yeah, the guy in the suit. I think he was the same guy that was on the Beverly Hillbillies too. Wasn't he in the suit?
It's probably the same suit.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably the same suit.
Probably the same guy. That 60s bad gorilla suit.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, shout out to the chat room. We love you people for hanging around. Normally we're here at 9:30 Eastern time on Sunday nights, but we couldn't make it for family reasons last night. So we're doing this on Monday this week. We will get the Patreon show out ASAP, and then the audio podcast is released on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, depending on where you live. You know, if you're in
I do about Tuesday night, about 10 o'clock Eastern.
Okay. So, well, that's way on pretty far on Wednesday in Australia. So
yeah,
you get it. Thanks for hanging out with us. We've got a number of people hanging out with us this week. Speak up if you're out there. We've got Thomas Kirchner, Mike Robeson. We've got, who else am I seeing? Myron Dupler, you mentioned him earlier. John Miller Jr., of course.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Glasner is out there. So thank you very much. Do you see anybody else that I missed? You always see a
Thomas
lot of people.
Kirchner?
There. Saw that. Yeah, I said that.
Mike Robinson. I guess we're kind of seeing the same. Myron Dupler.
Yep, said that. He's been listening forever. He's one of our like original listeners. OL.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's been around for a long time. He knows us.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's about it. Melissa Bartel popped in.
Oh good.
See Melissa. Mike Wills. Donna Tomasi, and she never joins. Wow.
She's sitting right here. She doesn't need to join. She sees this live.
Oh, right.
She knows how this sausage is made. It ain't pretty.
She's an enabler here, by the way.
And in case anyone was wondering, we don't edit this show. And what you're hearing is live. The only chance that there's ever any editing is if like the communications Internet. Drops out and we need to patch the pieces back together, like happened a couple weeks ago.
I saw somebody on Reddit ask how much do people edit their show?
And we just laughed.
Because they got a new podcaster, and I was like,
no, and depending on the format, editing is very critical. If you're doing an audio drama, you got to edit. If you're doing Bell's in the Bat Free, he's editing a lot. But this is sort of stream of consciousness with a little bit of articles thrown in for some topics to discuss, and we just go. Same thing with topic is Trek. You know, we hit record and we go. Unless there's a technical issue, we don't stop.
Mm-hmm. See, I prefer, especially conversational. The person was asking about editing out ums and ahs. I was like, oh God, we answered that a long time ago.
You get really tired of that fast.
That was the big discussion when podcasts first started. Do I edit out all the ums and ahs and maybe a little cough or something? Like, I think we did it a little bit, and I was like, no, this is exhausting. And it kind of sounds natural if you do, you know, if you do it right.
Edit out everything except the ums and ahs. Just leave in
how's that for a podcast? Welcome to episode 6.
I want to hear your outtake reel. If you want to join us or you get a hold of us, you can reach us on the listener line, 707-530-2428 or technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Even send us an MP3 like Mike Wills did. Very much appreciated. Did you hear the quality of his audio? Boy, has that gotten better in the last few years.
I know. Well, I just wish I could change his voice out.
I think he... Whoa, be nice. I was just thinking the same thing about you.
What? Huh? What chapter is that in the podcast? I forgot.
Getting a new host.
Hot swappable host.
We are working on the 4th edition. I don't expect an update to the poster. Maybe I'll have to paste in the new graphic we've got.
We got this. Hey, by the way, yes. I don't know if you can say, but do you have an idea when the 4th edition will be out?
It is... I don't have a specific date, but if I had to go where we are versus where we were 3 years ago, it's feeling like beginning of November, late October, early November. Okay. Really depends on how quickly they can get the editing process turned around. But we are wrapping up the content ahead of schedule, so I don't know if that means it'll be released ahead of schedule or not. One can hope. All right, we have, speaking of remembering things, we have Remember When. Yeah! We've got Remember When Computer Chess. I think this is my turn, right? You did the... No, I did Back to the Future. You get
it's
the
mine.
Computer. This
it's
is yours.
Mine. All right, so computer... See, I knew you'd probably like this story. So Computer Chess, the longest running experiment in computing science.
I thought this was like one app that's been running for 50 years.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and it finally became sentient this year. No. So, yeah, that's just what we need this in 2020. Chess game becomes sentient and decides to take over the world.
I don't know. Some of these companies I've been checking out are still running hardware from the 70s.
Yeah. So anyway, on August 31st, 1970, an experiment began that continues to this day. The first chess tournament for computers was held as part of ACM's National Conference. Are you giving John Miller Jr. the bill?
Yeah. You heard that?
Yeah, I did. Fairly. The interest generated was tremendous, leading to ACM sponsoring an annual event until 1994. Professor Jonathan Schaefer has provided us with a retrospect of what it was like at this pioneering time, which was at the beginning of a 50-year project to build a chess program capable of competing with and eventually exceeding the abilities of strong human players.
I love some of the graphics that are on here.
Yeah. So the experiment continues this day and for the foreseeable future, of course. And I'm not going to go into all of the history because there's so much of it.
It's a really long article, but there's like some scanned, typewritten images on here. The rules. Donna's got one on the screen right now. Like, what is the team? Dennis Cooper, Bell Telephone Laboratories, Bell Telephone Labs, Whippany, New Jersey. Computer to be used, the IBM 360/65, Bell Telephone Laboratories, Whippany, New Jersey. Program specifics, approximate memory requirement and language, etc. Requires about 22K of memory, all Fortran 4, compiles in Fortran H. The hardware and software on this is just to behold. A CDC 6400, approximately 6,060-bit words. Like, what is that in normal language?
Normal language.
60-bit words.
Hey, yeah. But if you go down a little bit, there's that other... You probably got this picture, too. The guy with the... Chris Daly running the Daly CP.
There we are.
Installed on his Idiom mini computer, and he's got a light pen. He's telling the computer where the chess pieces are.
That's pretty impressive when you think about that being written in like Fortran and assembler. That's when computer science was hardcore, people.
But this is the kind of thing that I think has helped push boundaries, over, at least early in the year, early on. you know, trying to get the computer to think about strategic moves and stuff. You know, pushing some computer boundaries.
Would you like to play a game?
Oh, no, not you again, Whopper.
Someone should have gone to Burger King and said, I'd like to order a Whopper. No.
How about a nice game of chess? New.
Thermonuclear war.
Yeah. But there is some really cool computer, some pictures on here of the old computers.
That's about all we're missing from 2020.
That's what I was saying a minute ago. Chess computer comes sentient and takes over the world.
Global thermonuclear war. We've got just about everything else.
Well, we still got 7 months in left.
Zombie apocalypse heading your way. All right. We have our thank you to the patrons coming up because they deserve the biggest thanks. They are the ones who contribute and keep this show going. What happened to the rest of that title? We're missing some words. I don't even remember what it said, but all we have is the URL. But see that URL on the bottom of the screen, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Part of my title went missing. I'll have to look into that. Every week, I swear. Every week it's
Whopper's
something.
Whopper's hacking in as we speak.
Played thermonuclear war on my lower thirds.
That's right.
So thank you to Ben Vaughn, Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Brian Brown, Amy Bowen, Chris MC, Avner Braverman, Dandy Mancoyer, Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros. Thank you, everybody who's been contributing, and whether it is just in the last month, like Spiffy, or you've been contributing since the beginning. Harold McKinstry, John Clifford, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen, Christina, Kyle Nishioka, wow, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Mike Wills, Night Gig Studios, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Wetchy, and Steve Therian. You guys are all, and ladies, are all rock stars in our book because you keep the lights on, you keep the bills paid, you make things like our hosting migration, which is now done. Yes, that is awesome. We have a full backup on the NAS. I am really happy. Things are running smoothly. We may need to pay an extra $2 here or there to up our storage from time to time.
Actually, I need to go log in and check on that, by the way, we push that one last MP3 up and then we push it over the edge.
Yeah, some log file is going to fill it up for us. Thanks.
No, it's on a different partition. Just to
What about the WordPress cache? Look, anyway. No, he's not going to sleep tonight.
Great. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you. Again, patreon.com/technorambapodcast. For as little as a dollar a month, you get our undying love. You get extra content. And whenever we get to go on another trip, we'll send you a postcard.
Hey, just for the record, the love's free. Okay. We'll give that to anybody.
Whether or not we go on a trip next year, we'll still send you a postcard. How's that? Mm-hmm. We can make a postcard.
Oh, yeah.
We'll mail order a postcard. Something. All right. Let's cut the music off. And thank you, rocking out Imperial March. We have one for Pass the Remote. What do you got?
Yeah. All right. So.
We need our music. We forgot the.
Oh, yeah. The music.
Yes, it's Pass the Remote. Because if you don't, you get to watch what I'm watching.
Here. End it here, Chuck.
This way. Okay. Yep. Psych.
Well coordinated. Anyway, so I had not seen this in the theater, but we watched The Invisible Man. My brother-in-law was kind enough to lend us the Blu-ray.
Which one?
It's the new one. The one that came out, was it this year or not 2019?
There's been several versions of this, so I wanted to know which one.
And it's a little different story, but we thought it was very good. And I don't want to give away the movie, of course, but you kind of get it. There's somebody that's invisible. He's a dude. And
was he bitten by a radioactive spider or anything? How did he get invisible?
I can't tell you.
He fell in a vat?
That will break a lot of the story. But I just wanted to tell you that actually, Kim even made the comment, wow, that's the first time we watched a good movie in a while. That's... Because, how many good movies have you seen lately?
Have we seen any movies lately? No, we're still plugging through. some new some shows. The final season of Supernatural's out, so that's our go-to show. We got to finish that up.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I can certainly recommend this. We enjoyed it. It kind of kept us guessing. There was a few twists. Not even twists, but things enough that make you go, isn't he, or is he, or is he, you know, to confuse you. And I did a good job.
You couldn't tell who was
that.
Invisible? And, is he the invisible guy, or is he the invisible guy?
Well, you're trying to figure out who's actually what's going on. And so that's what I'm saying. And the invisible man, or the one man had a brother, there's two brothers, and you're not sure which one's doing the thing, you know, what's going on. So.
So you liked it because it was unpredictable?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It kind of kept me guessing. I was like, I remember going, oh, he's the one. And then it was like, oh, he wasn't, you know, so it really threw you off. Yeah, it was good.
Okay, good.
A little unpredictable. I wasn't expecting to not pin it down.
Any notable names, stars, actors?
No. It was actually all people that I hadn't seen before, and I thought they were great.
Okay.
Yeah.
If there's any, he became invisible due to being culture canceled. Social isolation makes you invisible to everybody.
I'm sorry, but your physicality has been canceled.
You've been socially isolated so long, no one has seen you. They don't believe you exist anymore.
Yeah.
All right. What's the score? Out of 10, what do you give it?
I'm going to give it a solid 9.
Really?
It's got to be really good to give it a 10. So I'm reserving that 1, but I would say it was a 9.
Now, dear listener, remember there is a Craig factor involved with some of these.
What does that mean, Chuck?
It means you give like Scooby-Doo an 8.5.
No, hey, look, on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 91%.
Okay, that's good.
So that's what I'm saying. I get a solid 9.
I'm just going to leave you with Hackers.
That's a great movie. Hey, change my mind.
Documentary.
Yeah, I wasn't going that far. Hey, I didn't say it was a cheat. I said it was a guilty pleasure. That and Speed Racer. I love Speed Racer.
I'm stopping at the Saturday morning cartoon. Oh, and speaking of Saturday morning cartoons, did you do your assignment yet? For the topic is track?
One of three. We're watching the... Hey, if you don't listen to our other show, we do The Topic is Trek at thetopicistrek.com. And we, this last couple episodes, we're going through reviewing the animated series. And we're doing episodes 6, 7, and 8. And I watched 6. I haven't watched the other two yet. So
it's really hard. I mean, it's a love-hate thing. And we'll go into this on the show. We'll record on Wednesday. It'll be out by this Friday, which would be the 12th.
It's funny. What I like about them is they're similar to the original show. Of course, the voices are all there. But then it's like they don't all act exactly like they did on the show. You know, it's cartoon.
Right. They throw in some zingers at the end that did on the regular.
Like episode 6, they did the humor and played the little music. And I'm like,
yeah,
why would they all be happy, you know, cutting a joke now? They just,
but there's some, you know, really painful points too, like the editing. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that clearly were not meant for children on a Saturday morning cartoon. The way that, you know, Spock explains something, like, even now I'm thinking, what did he just say?
You know, that's the reaction. Daddy, what is on the show?
What's capitulate mean? He says, don't ever say that in front of your mother.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. Anyway, I think they're kind of fun to watch, but yeah, they are a little rough around the edges.
They are. That's part of the charm of it. So we're having fun with that. That's our
I
assignment.
Love seeing Lieutenant Kyle with the handlebar mustache, because nobody else has those handlebar mustaches but him.
Or the way they reuse the voices. You go, okay, there's Uhura, Nichelle Nichols, voicing a white woman and the computer. and there's some real impressive stuff, like Jimmy Doohan was Lieutenant Eriks.
Like, yeah.
Okay, so clearly these people have some variety.
Wasn't Imres Majel Barrett?
I think so.
Yeah, because she spoke and I went, I think that's Majel Barrett. She changed her
voice. Yeah, you can usually pick out Nichelle and Majel pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Anyway, let us move on. Yes?
I was going to say, skip over the media corner. Don't worry about that one.
Okay. Because
is that all right?
Yeah, it was a long read. You can leave the show notes in there if you want for the person who comes along later and reads it.
We'll leave that in there. Okay. It's actually talks about, it's an older article talking about seven retro future movies. So anyway, you can go check that out.
I'll give you a tantalizing hint. Back to the Future 2 predicted Donald Trump's election. That's all I'm going to say. What? If you haven't thought about it in that context before, think about it. Casino, millionaire, billionaire.
Oh, Biff. Yeah, well, Biff Tannen. Biff is kind of a...
And running for office. Uh-huh. Blonde hair. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, could happen. I wish people would have woke up and gone, that is so ridiculous. I'd rather have a flying hoverboard than...
Right.
We're not going to get political on this show, but...
No. Move along. Yeah, let's don't.
We talked about ham radio. Mike Wills got in here. So, Craig, I think... Is this your article or is this mine? I lost track of where we were.
Well, I reviewed The Invisible Man, so...
Okay, I'll do this one then. From Popular Mechanics, did ham radio enthusiasts actually speak to the crew on the Dragon? In a strange turn of events, a ham radio enthusiast in Gujarat, India, falsely claimed to have made contact with NASA astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley. The Bob and Doug. Take off, eh? During their historic journey to the International Space Station last weekend. Engineer Adhir Syed told the Ahmedabad Mirror, wow, we're really challenging us and it's not even the history segment anymore. He decided to try to connect with the ISS as it sped over India and coincidentally got connected to their frequency and received a response from one of the commandants of the capsule, he said. But NASA says that simply isn't true. So KF5KDR, by the way, and Russian... Oh, whoa, I skipped a little bit. The article starts on the right-hand side of the picture. Yeah. Behnken and Hurley blasted off from NASA's historic launch complex 39A on Saturday, May 30th. Many of you watched that with us. After 19 hours in orbit, the astronauts docked with the ISS and reunited with the fellow astronaut Chris Cassidy, whose ham call sign is KF5KDR, by the way, and Russian cosmonauts Anatoly Ivanishin, if something like that. And
yeah, that sounds good.
Ivan Wagner. Quote, we did check with SpaceX to confirm that they were not aware of any communication with the astronauts via ham radio, and the crew did not report having received communication, a NASA spokesperson told Popular Mechanics via email. We are also under the impression that they may be technically impossible for the Crew Dragon to communicate through ham radio. There's a decades-long history of ham radio operators, or hams, as they often call themselves, communicating with astronauts in orbit. Astronauts aboard the space shuttle, Mir space station, and the ISS have used ham radios to chat with people back on Earth. The first ham radio operator in space, NASA astronaut Owen Garriott, W5LFL, used a 2-meter radio to radio to chat with King Hussein of Jordan and Senator Barry Goldwater of Arizona. Why don't they say that in the article?
Yeah,
that's right. Where he was from. We have an airport terminal named after him. And, of course, his mother.
What's her name?
Who'd you talk to today? King Hussein, Barry Goldwater, Mom. Okay,
yeah, Mom.
Not necessarily in that order. During the shuttle mission STS-9 in 1983, Garriott communicated with hundreds of other hams and helped kickstart the Shuttle Amateur Radio Experiment, or SAREX program. He was from Vulcan.
Yeah, Sarex.
Which ran for 16 years.
Right.
So going on through the article, there's been other numerous reports, but this one clearly has not happened. Myth busted.
Boom.
That'd be kind of cool, though. Be able to take a ham radio and talk to the ISS as it goes over.
Yeah.
Mike, remember, we're counting on you.
I'll tell you another story. I spent the night with a friend of mine. This is when we were kids. And I remember his dad had a ham radio set up. Again, this is in Texas, and he had quite a large antenna, and he was talking to people in Australia, which I thought, you know, again, blew my mind.
Yeah.
That you're talking to somebody in Australia. And of course, here's my dad talking to somebody in Pennsylvania from his car.
Craig, we're talking to people in Australia right now.
Not through radio waves. Yeah.
Craig, you're in South Carolina and we're seeing video to Arizona.
Yeah, that's but amazing. In 1979, this was pretty awesome, okay? Or 1980, maybe.
Hey, in 2020, this is still pretty awesome.
It is.
Stop and think about technology every once in a while, kids. It'll blow your mind. What has to happen for this image on my screen to show up on Craig's screen?
This little camera to get all the way over there.
Well, it only has to go this far across the screen.
Yeah, well, take 2 seconds and we can break this whole thing.
Breaks every week. Apparently, I'm losing subtitles now.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings us to the end of the show and right on time. Wow, that was fast, wasn't it? Time flies when you're having fun. Fruit flies like a banana. Question of the week, what's a TV series that everyone should give a go? All right, there you have it.
Speed Racer. I'm just
how much time you got? That's my question. Also,
broke up patrons. See, the technology's breaking up. I couldn't even hear you. What'd you say?
I said, how much time you got?
Oh, yeah.
Our Patreon topic this week is computer injuries. Apparently, someone's got something to say about computer injuries. Oh, my hard drive broke its arm.
I think we both have stuff to say.
Except hard drives don't have arms anymore. Unless they're the old mechanical kind, but we'll get into that. So thank you for hanging out with us and roll that beautiful music. Kind of wakes you up. Someone needs an alarm clock like that.
Let me do the...
Craig's doing the metronome again. Everybody scream! Yeah. Oh, sorry. That's not a scream.
Oh, boy.
You can get a hold of us. You know where. 707-530-2428. 707-530-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you. Or email us. Or send us an MP3. Technorama@chuckchat.com. Love to hear from you. Pleasure as always. We'll talk to our patrons real soon. Everything you need to know about us is over at chuckchat.com/technorama. Been doing this for 15 years and counting. And no sign of stopping yet. Until next time. Tell a friend about Technorama. And Craig, would you give us a binary high five?
All right. 101, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
All right. See ya.
No editing.